Good morning, this is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet FM 104.6. Shalom, Deb.
Shalom, Joan. And today we've also got the lovely Rabbi Friedler with us as well. Shalom, Rabbi.
Shalom, Joan. Shalom,
lovely,
Deb.
I wouldn't say. But
it's a matter
it is
of
okay.
taste.
It is all right.
It's a matter of taste.
Today we're coming up to one of our nice festivals.
What do you mean nice? All the festivals are nice.
some remember not so nice things, but you know, Hanukkah is a good luck story.
Okay, so maybe we should also face some of the challenges of Hanukkah.
It's true. Like with most Jewish occasions, we have to sit with the good and the bad and hold them together. And Hanukkah is the festival of light. It is a festival of joy and happiness and celebration.
And eating.
It's the festival of donuts, Joan.
Yeah, as we said.
Squishy one.
Homer Simpson's favorite festival. Lots of donuts. And latkes.
And so I think it'll be interesting today for Rabbi Friedler to take us through a little bit of the history and how can we end up with light and donuts? What's the real story behind Hanukkah?
Yes, so Hanukkah, as we know, is the miracle of the few of the Jewish people who were oppressed in their own homeland, in the land of Israel, by the Greek Empire. The Hellenism was the religion, so to speak, of the place where everywhere were idols and, you know, theaters and the Colosseum, all the physical and the, so to speak, the beauty of
civilization.
Of civilization, all right. And was it a clash of civilizations, Judaism versus Hellenism? Is that the case? Maybe one of the challenges that we have with Hanukkah is maybe the unknown story, and I think we should touch it as well, is the Mityavnim, those actually the Jews among the Jewish people who actually felt themselves more Greeks than Jews and assimilated and did not feel part of the Jewish nation anymore. They want to become Hellenists.
So interesting, because today we talk so often about the challenges with assimilation, you know, Jewish people who are spread throughout the world and don't have the education and the connection with their heritage. And yet this isn't something new. This is something that we've been dealing with for thousands of years, that because we're a people who spread out and live in different cultures and often, you know, sadly get kicked out of places and end up having to relocate.
Or get married.
Yeah, that too. And that we then need to reconcile our Jewish identities alongside being good citizens of the places that we're in. And this is something that isn't new, Rabbi.
And not to be seen as troublemakers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just for our audience who are not familiar with the story, just in a brief, excuse me, we know that during Hanukkah, what finally happened after quite a long time, I think it was 200 years of oppression, and finally a group of very dedicated Jewish people of the Maccabees, they decided enough is enough. It's not possible. Exactly. Enough is enough. It's not possible anymore that we cannot live according to our values, according to our moral values and the Jewish law in our homeland. I mean, that was the first fight for a freedom of religion. And they decided they will go and fight, not just for their own lives, because they all can actually live, they could have lived quietly, peacefully, if they just assimilated. And they would not agree to that. So, against all odds, they decided to go and attack the Greek Empire. And of course, miraculously, they managed to defeat the Greek rulers and came back to the temple. The temple was defiled. The Jewish people could not enter to the temple, could not work the holy service in the holy temple in Jerusalem. And finally, after a long war, they came into the temple and they found a little jug of oil that miraculously lasted for 8 days, and this is hence we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, and they light the menorah, of course, light the menorah. So that's the story in a nutshell.
So for many people, when they think of the miracle of Hanukkah, they think of that little jug of oil that was, in theory, according to the way of nature, meant to last for one day, and yet continued to burn for the 8 days that it took to go collect, press, and bring back more oil. But from what you're saying, this isn't the real miracle. I mean, it is one of the miracles of Hanukkah, but it doesn't end there. The fact that a tiny group of rebels, as they were, you know, were able to fight against a huge empire and were able to claim victory, I mean, this is a huge miracle.
Correct. So the main prayer that we recite on Hanukkah, it's called Al HaNisim, on the miracles. And in that prayer that we recite three times a day, Shacharit, Mincha, Mariv,
so the morning,
the afternoon, and the evening service, also on Birkat HaMazon, on the grace after meal, we mentioned the miracles, and we would expect that the focus will be on the miracle of the menorah, that, you know, the little jug of oil lasted for 8 days instead of merely one day. And yet, the focus is entirely about the victory in the war, the outstanding victory in the war. Deb, would you like to read for us?
Yeah, I'd love
some
to
quotes
read for us. So this is a part of the Amidah, the kind of pinnacle, the high point of the prayer service, when we're at our moment of being closest with Hashem, with God. And it says, and for the miracles, and for the salvation, and for the mighty deeds, and for the victories, and for the battles which you performed for our forefathers in those days at this time. In the days of Matisyahu, the son of Yochanan, the high priest, the Hasmonean, and his sons, when the wicked Greek kingdom rose up against your people Israel to make them forget your Torah and force them to stray from the laws that you willed, you, in your great mercy, stood up for them in their time of distress. You fought their battle, judged their claim, and avenged their wrong. You delivered the strong into the hands of the weak, the many into the hands of the few, the impure into the hands of the pure, the wicked into the hands of the righteous, and the malicious into the hands of the diligent students of Torah.
Go on, please.
For yourself, you made a great and holy name in your world, and for your people Israel, you worked a great victory and salvation as this very day. Thereafter, your children came to the Holy of Holies of your house, cleansed your temple, purified the site of your holiness, and kindled lights in the courtyards of your sanctuary. And they established these 8 days of Hanukkah to express thanks and praise for your great name.
And then,
not to mention the Maccabees.
Absolutely. No. Not mention the miracle of the oil. That's, they came back to the temple and they light the menorah. There's nothing there about the miracle of the little jug of oil, which we, you know, focusing so much around that. So what is it?
Yeah.
That's a wonderful question. So what is the major miracle? What is the focus of Hanukkah? Is it the victory against the Hellenism, or rather the miracle of the jug of oil?
The miracle is that Hashem came to our aid.
Perfect. Fantastic. So why then? Maybe we should have done like a military march, right? You know, after the amazing miracle of the independence war of Israel in 1948. Oh, sorry, maybe more of the 6 day war. That was absolutely outstanding miracle, you know? The people of Israel came out and marched in the streets, showed that, you know, the force of the army, the strength of the people. This is not the focus of the Jewish people. The Jewish people don't focus on military victory. Rather, the importance that it was all by the hand of God. Therefore, something that is completely, we cannot explain rationally, because people might say, you know, the Maccabees, they were a very unique and elite unit in the army. They were the Sayeret Matkal, they were the commando, they were warriors.
So they'll try and take Hashem out of the equation and explain
people would say, the Maccabees, you know, they are the Navy SEALs of back then. They managed with a little, you know, few of people, but, you know, very smart. They were strategic. They were amazing.
So then you
take out God from the equation, and there's nothing. It's only by manpower. Then
the
we have to shift.
The army.
So basically,
yeah, absolutely. So Joan sees the miracle. You're preaching to the converted here.
Yeah. So the fact that the miracle is the main miracle is definitely the victory against the Hellenism, against the Greeks. But in order to actually internalize that and feel that there's no difference whether the jug of oil lasted for 8 days or the
military victory,
the Maccabees won the war, it's all one thing. So therefore we shift, so to speak, our focus into something that is completely unexplicable, and we can't give it a rational reason, and we know this is all one big story. And if you would like to hear something really beautiful that David Ben-Gurion, we open our question about the Mityavnim, about those Jews who assimilated and wanted to become, and actually this is the hidden story, which is more relevant today than ever in the story of Hanukkah.
But Hellenism was seen as civilization. It was a good...
No.
Yes. Some people saw it as progress.
But the focus of Hellenism was, again, to take out God from anything else, from all the equations. It's all about the beauty. It's all about external beauty. It's all about physicality. All about materialism.
And the
world of materialism.
And the power of man, not the power of
man,
God.
Yeah, there's no God. Man can do whatever he wants. And therefore, you know, there's no morality. Any generation can rule and decide what is good and what is bad for humankind. And then, years later, David Ben-Gurion, you know, the
Some
first
years
prime...
later.
years later, David Ben-Gurion, in 1953, the first prime minister of Israel, he said the follows. He learned from Hanukkah a message for his generation, and I think it's also relevant to our generation.
And what's quite interesting for those who are listening is Ben-Gurion wasn't religious.
No, he wasn't.
He was secular, but yet he took a message away from Hanukkah.
Yes, because he saw it as an archetype of the fight that the small army of IDF managed to defeat the big army of, you know...
Big armies.
Absolutely. Of the Arab countries in 1948. So later on, he says the follows. The struggle of the Maccabees was one of the most dramatic clashes of civilizations in human history. Not merely a political military struggle against foreign oppression. The Jewish people did not assimilate, as did many peoples. The Jewish people prevailed, won, sustained, and enhanced their independence and unique civilization. The Hashmonaim, the Maccabees, overcame one of the most magnificent spiritual, political, and military challenges in Jewish history due to the spirit of the people rather than the failed spirit of the establishment.
Hmm.
So, although there were a group of people who wanted to assimilate it, who wanted to become Hellenists, but suddenly, when there is a little group of people who have that right, the right spirit, they actually influence the entire nation back to the source, back to where it all begins.
It reminds me of that lovely quote from Margaret Mead about all you need is a small, dedicated group of people. You know, that's all you need to create the change you want to see is a small, dedicated group of people. And from there, it grows and it flourishes.
Well, it depends... you know, the small group of people started Nazism too. So.
Yeah, that's true. Small, dedicated group of people can achieve huge things, for good or for bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or can take everyone, you know, to a whole destruction.
Sure.
And this brings us back to the mitzvah, the main mitzvah of Hanukkah. What is the mitzvah of Hanukkah if not lighting the candles?
Oh, I thought he was going to say donuts.
Not at all. A single light, a single candle can take away all the darkness.
Yes.
Mm.
And the basic mitzvah, and although we add, you know, a candle every day until the last day we light 8 candles, basically the minimum mitzvah is a single candle every single day. We don't have to add light. It's actually showing that the more we have light, every single light brings a greater light. But it's enough with even one little light that can reject and push away all the darkness.
Mm. And that's why I like half the lamp, because you have the light.
Yeah, so Jones brought up Havdalah, the closing ceremony of the Sabbath. And that's also a time when perhaps we feel a pang of sadness, we're losing the Sabbath. And yet we have not just a candle, but a multi-wicked candle that we light. There's so many times throughout the Jewish calendar on a weekly basis, but also throughout the year, where we start our festivals, we bring in our festivals with the lighting of candles. And yet Hanukkah is the one that is called the Festival of Light. Despite all the other candles that we light during the year, this is really the one that, to me, symbolizes Tikkun Olam. There's a little bit of light, and that little bit of light can bring illumination to the whole world.
And this symbol is also coming from the word Chanukah. Chanukah means dedication, but also comes from the word chinuch, education. Chanukah is the festival of education, because again, we could have taken from this miracle of victory just the power of war, and that sometimes, unfortunately, we do have to fight. But that's not the message. The message is Tikkun Olam. The message is that we have the ability to partner, to be part of God's creation in repairing the world and bringing it to a better place. And this is our mission every single year, every single day. Now, Chanukah, the mitzvah starts with Ner Ishuveito, and a candle to a household. The Chanukah candle is not just for you, for yourself. You have to start with your own home. And then where you place the Chanukah candle?
In the windowsill.
In the window. Because the light that comes from your home, the light can spread out outside. So this is exactly the mitzvah of education, of chinuch. Chanukah, chinuch.
I can understand one of the pillars, I think, is that at that time the Greeks were the most civilized. It was the philosophers, it was all that sort of thing. And it was easy to
Be attracted to that.
And the fact that Judaism overcame something which was not bad as such.
I have to disagree with you.
Do, please.
The Greeks were also oppressing. They were forcing people to leave their religion. They didn't leave people with their own beliefs. They had to change everyone to believe in idols.
They knew that it was a very good system.
No, it was a horrible system. Many people died
because
of that
system.
Because this is a system, this is a dictatorship. Who is it good for? Dictatorship. For the ruler. For those who take all the money, those who oppress all the people. For the dictator, it's a great system. Right?
Yeah.
But for the people, they are suffering. And the Jewish people stood up against that. There's no difference between Chanukah and the victory against Hellenism than the oppression that the Jewish people suffered in Egypt against the huge slavery and the house of bondage. They lived for 210 years in Egypt.
And interestingly, as you're talking, for me, it echoes the Holocaust as well, in the sense that people couldn't believe that such a civilized nation as Germany would be able to go to these depths. I mean, this was a nation that was producing the highest in culture, art, psychology, philosophy. You know, from an academic and a cultural point of view, it was seen as the absolute height of culture. And interestingly, we've got a letter that my great uncle, who escaped from Germany, wrote back to the mayor of his town in Germany, who was a childhood friend. And he wrote, "None of us believed that such a thing could happen in our beloved civilized Germany." And so I think it's a really good message to all of us that just because something is seen as progressive and modern, it's seen as cultured and you know, something that we think of as positive, we always need to stop and consider, who is it benefiting? Who is it disadvantaging? Is this something that really follows values and morality which stand the test of time?
And I think that's the human sickness, is the arrogance that we are the face of all. Mm. And if you take out God from your life, then man is
ruler.
Is the ruler. Mm. So then whoever don't think like you has no place. But if you believe in God, you know that God created everyone in his image. So every person has a place, and every person has something that you can teach from or study from him, right? Mm. And every person Hashem put him in the world because he is something special.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but Hashem put everybody in the world.
Absolutely.
Including those
evil. Absolutely. Because they have a place in the world. So we can see what is the difference.
The light and the darkness.
Light and the darkness.
And interestingly, in Pirkei Avot, we read, who is wise? He who learns from every man.
Yeah.
And the Talmud talks about how even we can learn from a thief.
Someone to steal.
Well, persistence, you know, dedication. There are lots of things.
Identifying.
Yeah, you know, they have a clear target and they go and get it. We can learn from everybody. And I think you bring up a really important point is that, yeah, whether it's good or evil, if everything is from Hashem, there's something to be learned from everything.
So Hellenism and, you know, arts and music and theater, all these magnificent things they brought to the world, are important if you know their place. Its place. But if it's the face of all, and for that you can oppress other people just to build a bigger empire. Mm. Right? It's like the Tower of Babel. How many people were killed in order to build that huge tower? Right? And the Midrash tells us about the Tower of Babel that anyone who couldn't reach a place that was just, you know, is not strong enough, they pushed him off. Off the tower. That's it.
Human life didn't mean much.
That's right. Mm. You know, you use it and you dispose it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So for those who are listening at home, there will be Jewish families throughout New Zealand who will be lighting their Hanukkah candles each night of Hanukkah and placing them in their window. But there's also a collective celebration that everyone's invited to and welcome to be a part of. On Sunday the 9th of December, from 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Ōraki Domain in Okahu Bay, there's going to be a fantastic event. We've been running Hanukkah in the park for years now, but this time we're taking Hanukkah to the bays. And there's going to be a Jewish cultural event that brings the community together to schmooze over food and listen to music. There'll be activities for children and lots of opportunities to get to see a little bit more of this festival. Because, thank goodness, we have the miracle with the oil, one of the traditions of Hanukkah is that we eat oily foods. So there are two types of traditional foods that you can come and try, and possibly many more, but you'll definitely see donuts. That's why we joked about it as being Homer Simpson's favourite festival. And there'll be latkes. Would one of you like to explain what latkes are for those who aren't familiar?
Delicious.
That sums it up. Basically, when you add enough oil to anything, it tends to taste pretty good. So if you...
And please don't count calories. That's right.
It's a mitzvah. It's a good deed not to count calories and to eat the oily food as a commemoration. So latkes are a delicious, savory pancake that is a combination of potato and onion that's fried in oil. And I promise you, it might not be good for your arteries, but it's fantastic to taste. And at dusk, so approximately 8 p.m., we will be lighting a huge menorah. And the menorah is the candelabra that we light, increasing the light each day. And because this year the Jewish calendar, the 9th of December, also corresponds to the 7th day of Hanukkah. So
it's going to be the night of the 8th day.
So the Jewish...
It's going to be a full menorah.
The Jewish calendar starts the night before. So the 9th of December is the 7th day of Hanukkah, and then as the rabbi explained, we welcome in the 8th day, the final day of Hanukkah. So it will be a spectacular sight. We'll be lighting all the candles and really modelling this idea of that light can dispel darkness. And there'll be a short religious service as well. Rabbi Friedler will be there, so you'll have a chance to hear a little bit more from him and other members of the Jewish community. And
I think a few MPs and some dignitaries are...
Oh, fantastic.
And it's an open invitation.
It's open invitation to everybody. If you'd like to bring a gold coin donation, it enables us to continue the event and do it again every year and add to the beautiful tapestry that is Auckland. We're a small community, but we're a mighty one. So even though we're little in number, we're hoping to increase the light as much as we can.
Beautiful.
I think that's great. I really like that we share... that the different cultural groups share their good times with others.
Absolutely. And it's beautiful that we have cross-culturally this message of light. You know, for those who have been to Diwali, for those who have been to the Chinese Lantern Festival, Matariki, we've got all of these different ways of celebrating and bringing light. And yet the Jewish way of celebrating and bringing light is a very unique and different story. And that's something that is a universal story about the importance of standing up for what's right and making sure that we recognize that we the buck doesn't stop with us. Yeah, there's a much bigger picture that we are a part of, and the kind of individualism that the Maccabees were fighting against is still really prevalent in today's society. And what we need are more opportunities to go, no, it's not just about me, it's about the people around me, the world around me as well, and how I can increase the light.
I think that the fact that we get together as a community, because we don't have many opportunities to do that. So we don't have so many events, except when you have visiting dignitaries come and talk from Israel. And
yeah, it is. It's a beautiful opportunity to come together. And one of the things that I really enjoy about Hanukkah is it seems in some way to connect with those who are religious and not religious, those who are affiliated and not affiliated, those who do many different Jewish activities in their day-to-day life, and those who just come for Hanukkah because, you know,
they did it as a child.
It's light. It's light. You know, that brings the light.
It's beautiful. Maybe we'll finish with a question, an interesting question. We know that the jug of oil basically was enough for one day. Mm-hmm. So basically, how long should the festival be? If it was enough for one day, the festival should have been for 7 days only.
Ah,
not
true.
For 8 days. Right? So actually, many answers around that, but I'll give you just a few. The one is actually simple, that not even for one day. So we all used to say the jug of oil should have lasted for one day. It actually should have not even lasted for one day. So they just put it in. And there's something else. They saw the miracle already when just 1/8 of it was light every day. They could see it. How come? Already in the little glass or little jug of oil, they put it into the menorah. And then the first day, there's only 1/8 of it. So they realize actually that's going to be enough. Already in the first day, they could
see that it's going to be
a miracle for 8 days. But last but not least, I think maybe the most important and the message we can take from here, the fact that they went out of their way to find that jug of oil. They could have said, you know what, we don't have oil. We don't have to light the menorah. We are after the war. Everyone is impure. Everyone is tired. We don't have to have the menorah. They went out of their way to find this little jug of oil. They believed there has to be something. There has to be a miracle. Just for that, it's worth another day of miracle.
Beautiful.
So beautiful. Well, thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Deb. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you've missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom, one word, and we would like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee.
Chanukah Sameach, everyone.